Blog Talk Radio.
Chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moses his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Kol Shaddai. Shabbat shalom, Mishpachah. How's everybody? Tov Meor? Anybody tired? Worn down? Beat down? I know. A whole lot. You know how that saying that says you can't win for losing? I just feel like I've been in a cold streak since Sukkot. You know? Just the different things going on at work, personal life, spiritual life. So a whole lot of things going on, you know? Challenges, trials, you know? But perseverance, resiliency. You know, those are the things that Yahweh wants to build within us. I know that's what he's building within me. You know, that you have to endure. You know, things ain't always going to be smooth sailing. You know, sometimes you're going to hit rocky seas. Even though You may have your sights set on a particular goal, like that shit we talk about. You know, they have a goal in mind. They have a destination. They have a place that they're going to port, right? And when you think about the ancient way of navigation, all you had was stars. All you had was that nighttime. You couldn't use the same method in the day. Your navigation had to be pinpointed at night, so that way you are on course during the day. But the nighttime was the time of navigation. You had to have that watchman all night long, making sure that whatever your compass was set at, whatever that pinpoint was, that star that you were using to navigate, that you were on course. Because during the day, you can't see the stars. You only know where east and west is. But let's say you're not traveling due east or you're not traveling due west. Let's say you're traveling north by northwest, north by northeast, north by northeast, or south by southeast. So that means the north star is going to be in one position, the sun, where it rises, is going to be in one position, and the west is going to be in one position. It doesn't mean that they're always perfectly aligned. But in order to make sure that you are on course, you have to have a navigator. You have to have someone who knows and understands how to plot the course. And once the course is plotted, that person, think about it now, ensuring that the course is plotted, that means during the day he has to rest. You see what I'm saying? So that means now you have other people now during the day that have to be able to navigate the course for you on that ship. You know, and when you think about the ancient way of navigation, I mean, now we got sat-nav, you know, we got satellites, we got all these sophisticated navigational systems. And guess what still happens with all the sophisticated navigational systems? You still have, as a matter of fact, we just had, I think it was either this year or at some point last year, two major crashes of naval ships, right, where the watchmen didn't properly watch, where the navigational system, the very sophisticated, because the military has the most sophisticated products on the market when it comes to warfare, computer technology, everything. Matter of fact, I have a coworker whose husband is an engineer for Lockheed Martin, and they get, matter of fact, this stuff that he does, he can never share with his wife. About sophisticated navigational systems. That's his specialty. He's an engineer in high technology, sophisticated navigational system. But if he was part of this product and this product failed, guess what? That's one of the things that could happen. But there's still human error that can come into play, even with the most advanced technology. And many lives were lost when those two ships, those two naval vessels, these were war vessels. These two naval vessels, a lot of lives were lost. And it wasn't even wartime. This was peacetime. As a matter of fact, they just put out a gentleman who was one of the elite force come to find out that he was killed by other elite forces, Navy SEALs and all of that sort of stuff. So even the most elite can make mistakes at times. Whether it's in practice combat or whether it's in real combat. But the key to it is still what? Preparation. Being prepared. My favorite sport. Football. You can't just jump out on the football field and say, sure, even if you had a pickup flag football game, or we get together and say, oh, yeah, we're going to get together and play, you know, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 5-on-5, or what have you. There still has to be preparation. There still has to be roles that are set in place. Who's going to do what? Who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to be the receiver? Who's going to run the ball? Who's going to block? Who's going to count 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi? You even have to decide how many Mississippis we go, right or wrong. We doing 3 Mississippis, or we going to do 5 Mississippis, right? You have to decide when the defense can engage, when the offense can engage. You see what I'm saying? All of this takes planning and preparation. So how much more for our spiritual walk does it take planning and preparation? And one of the things we hear in Yahweh's word, where he be ready. A few times, as a matter of fact, in doing this lesson, because I prayed, you know, the whole week, this ain't coming till later on in the week. And one of the things he had me realize is through what I was going through at work is about preparation, planning. Because we've had a situation taking place with my department and another department that has had an impact on patient care. But it's because people who were in charge of planning and preparation reacted and didn't do things the proper way. See, we're responsible for transporting patients. That's my job. In all walks of life, from beginning to the end, that's what we do. We transport. That's my job. I'm the FedEx of human beings. Period. To make it plain, that's what we do. That's my job. And to ensure that patients are of acute level care, get from their bedroom to their treatment. My brother used to do the job, get from their bedroom to their treatment area, whether it's MRI, CT, whatever it is, and get back to their room, right? And that takes planning and preparation, but it also takes having the proper equipment. Now, one of the things that they did to my team a few years back since I took the department, the area that we stored our equipment, they took it from us, right? So if you take somebody's vital tool from them, what do you do with that thing? What do you think is going to be the impact? If you say, well, you store your stuff, we're going to take your stuff out of it and let everybody have it. Imagine now, for instance, you got the security guard at the door. You got all this high-end product. If it's me, I want me TVs, some PlayStation, some electronics, an iPad, maybe some few of those things. And you leave the security guard away from the door, and all you leave is the product in there for people to take. What you think they're going to do? Help themselves. I don't care how honest of a person you are. At some point, that voice in your head is going to say, maybe you should take it with you. Maybe you should procure it. Maybe you don't want to call it stealing. Maybe you want to call it procurement. That's a fancy word for acquiring things. You might be tempted to procure it for your personal use, right? But if it's unguarded and if it's left to people's devices, guess what they're going to do? They're going to have fun. So now all the equipment that we need has been left out for the people who actually need it to take it. The clinical staff. So now they take it and they got the hoarding mentality. Give me this. I'm going to have five of these stretches. I'm going to have these tensions. I'm going to have all this locked up, right? And then now while you are locking it up on your unit, there's other units out there that need it. But they can't get to it. But you got it, right? Huh? And they claim it, right? So now when your colleague needs it, me being your colleague that's responsible for transport, and your colleague who's also part, a patient care provider needs it, they can't get to it, guess what happens? Not only am I at a disadvantage for being able to do their job, now they're at a disadvantage because now they can't get that equipment, their patient can't get to a diagnostic, and then there's a snowball effect. It all rolls downhill at that point. But yet, still, my team is getting the blame because y'all left the door wide open. Y'all allowed the wolves, the foxes to guard their hen house. They done ate up all the hens, and they guarding the hens, but yet y'all expect us to be able to perform at the same optimal level. It's counterintuitive. It's poor leadership. It's poor planning. And so we went on a tour with the senior VP, and the senior VP was like, hey, I expect them to do their job. It's impossible. You're stacking everything against them. Who did this? Oh, all the VPs who said, well, we're going to take their stuff out. We're going to put construction equipment in there. All them, blah, 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 blah. I don't remember. And granted, part of me wants to say, yeah, y'all too. Do y'all. Y'all told them, go get our stuff out of here. Probably didn't do that. Didn't do that. Sitting there, like, looking at me like. And I could have. I'm like, wait a minute. Y'all acting like y'all don't know? And it's so funny because it's a new senior vice president who's coming aboard. She's fresh to the system. So she's got clean eyes, a clean slate. You know, and it just so happened that the people that did this, she said, well, let's call them in. And I never said a word about who was responsible for kicking the equipment out the room. But she says, well, we got to get this president. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, what do they call it? Poetic justice. Oh, the irony. For the two of them to be the main people, she said, get them involved. And to go to the very spot where they kicked our equipment out and for them to stand there like, wow. You know? But anyway, that's part of the struggle I've been going through on my job. They expect us to meet the demand without the tools. And as management and as leadership, you have to prepare your people with the right tools. That is your responsibility to give them what they need in order to do their job. Now, if you give them everything they need to do their job and then they don't perform, then it's on the performer. We see also now, we're going to see that, how Yahweh has given us all the tools that we need for our performance. So now, unlike the world leadership that says, go out there and do it without X, Y, and Z. Y'all was like, I'm going to give you A, I'm going to give you olive two toes. Now it's on you to do what you got to do. When I used to manage a warehouse back in New York, and the guy who worked with me, I was young at the time, 20 years old, and, this guy was an older guy, and, he used to watch me run around that warehouse, a small company, run around that warehouse getting stuff. And he said, man, why are you doing this? I was like, well, this is the way it was before. He was like, well, why don't you, try a different method in doing it? Because everything was organized in the way that the old manager wanted it done, but it was dysfunctional. So, him seeing this said to me, apply a different method. He said, look, man, I'm going to teach you the five P's. He said, there's five positive P's and there's five negative P's. I'm like, wait a minute. So anybody ever heard of the five P's when it comes to, okay, so there's five positive P's and five negative P's. The five positive P's are proper planning produces proper performance, right? The five negative P's are poor planning produces poor performance. And back to another sports analogy. A person can practice all day long at their craft, shooting jumpers, throwing the football, swinging the bat. You could do it all day, swinging that golf club. You could do it all day long. But if you're not, we got a brother in here who's deep into the martial arts. You can throw a punch all day long. But if it is not the proper way to throw a punch, guess what's going to happen? Your punch is useless. You could do it 100 times a day, hit the wall, pop, 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 pop. But if you don't have the subtle nuances that goes that says you have to engage your hip, you have to engage your legs when you throw a punch, because throwing a punch isn't about just flailing your arm out there. It's about making sure that you have the proper body mechanics so that you engage your base, right? And even when you look at boxing, the funny thing about boxing is it's kind of counterintuitive to how the body works. Because when you throw a certain punch, you have to engage the opposite side of your body. So if you throw a right hook sometimes, you got to twist your leg a certain way. If you throw a left, you got to twist the right leg a certain way. You have to engage both sides of the body in order to be effective. Uppercuts, that can't just be like that. A hook can't just be like that. You have to, and that's why you have trainers. That's why everybody can't just hop into the ring. Everybody can't be a Floyd Mayweather. Everybody can't be a Mike Tyson. Everybody can't be in a band of the Holyfield. You got a lot who try, though. But in order to become the elite of the elite, you have to have trainers. You have to have people who prepare you for the fight. How many of us love the movie Ip Man? All of us love Ip Man, right? Why? Because it's the prequel to everybody's favorite martial arts. I can't think of one person out there who don't, maybe Chuck Norris, who don't like Bruce Lee. Right? You don't like Bruce Lee? Oh, right? Just about everybody, right? Everybody loves Bruce Lee. Why? Because he's a little dude, cuts I don't know what, and go out there, just got the passion and the zeal, and Bolo came at him, and he's like, Bolo, what you think? Because you could rep 15, 225, you could rep 30, and 225. I'm going to be scared of you. Not be able to push 225. I might not even weigh half of 225. But when you come at me, what do you say? It does it for me, right? He got to react. He just react. Why? Because I'm prepared for the battle. So when the man come at him and he does this, he automatically knows, okay, if he move like this, I'm going to move like this, and I'm going to slip in like this. If he move like this, I'm going to move like this, and I'm going to slip in like this. Because he's prepared for the battle. He's prepared for the fight. He's all, and this is before people had things sophisticated like, I'm going to watch tape on this dude. Now you got tape. You can watch hours. Now you can study that person's life and their craft when it comes to fighting nowadays from the time they were started to where they are right now. But he was in an era where you didn't have that. Ip Man was in an era where you didn't have that. But people just heard about your renown, heard that you could hit real hard. And they said, well, I'm going to go test. I'm going to let my man say, Wing Chun, I'm going to go test that style. That's a woman's art. Let me see this man fight with this woman's art. Isn't that what he said to Ip Man? He went down there and found out this woman's art's pretty tough. Well, by the time you throw one, you done been hit by five. By the time you throw your second one, it done multiplied. Right? And before, I remember my brother said, man, Bruce Lee used to beat a tune on him. Pop, pop, pop. That's how much he used to like that. He liked the rhythm of it. One, two, three. You know, and when you see them boxers train, that's what they do. One, two, three. That's how they, so they get a cadence and a rhythm. So they're prepared not to just hit you once, but once they hit you once, two more times. Then after that, three more times. And they want to multiply it on you. So, being ready. Because if you're not prepared, and if you're not prepared properly, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fail. Let's take it down. Let's not dumb it down, but let's just take it down to science, math, English, teaching. Start the kids out with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Then you have to start, then you take it to the next step. C, A, T spells what? Cat. B, A, T spells what? Bat. D, O, G spells what? Dog. You see what I'm saying? So even in life, you can't just throw a book at them and say, read it. Right or wrong, you got to teach it in the house. So you have stages of development that you have to prepare them in one stage for the next stage and the next stage and the next stage. And then hopefully one day they'll be so prolific at it that they can now articulate to people the thoughts that are in their head in a manner in which now it has impact on other people. Write in the book. You know, right or wrong. But let's look at what Webster says about preparation or prepare. Man, get the advertising off this. I don't like when y'all do that. Right? And I really like this definition. Prepare. 1A, to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity. Prepare food for dinner. Right? So we coming up into that dinner time of the year, right? And when you think about, you know, when people start preparing, I go to Sam's Club every time I go. 3 weeks ago, people had stuff they're getting ready for this day. You're going to get the dry goods, right, for next Thursday. You're going to get the stuffing if you use stovetops. You're going to get the cranberry sauce. You're going to get some dry goods. You're going to get that ahead of time because, one, you don't want to be caught in these stores later on this week because they're going to be crazy. Right? Because everybody's getting greedy for this day that's coming up on Thursday, right or wrong? Right? So you got people that say, I got to get my dinner ready a couple weeks in advance. So then you get the last thing, which is the big bird, right? You don't want to get that too early now. You want to be prepared, but you don't want to get the big bird a whole week in advance. Why? You don't want big birds sitting around for too long because big bird got bacteria in it. And the more that big bird sits, the more bacteria is going to collect. So there even has to be a method of preparation that you say, well, I can prepare some portions now or get ready or purchase some portions now in preparation for the big. But so there's stages that you got to do for that. Like, for instance, my man, he's a cook, right? He knows, okay, I can drive my – if I plan on making spaghetti, I can buy the spaghetti months in advance because spaghetti ain't going to spoil as long as it stays dry, right? But I can't buy the meat far in advance because if I leave it out for too long, right, the meat won't go bad. Now, depending on the time of year, there may be a difference. Summertime, you can't keep meat out as long as you can, say, in the wintertime, right? So if I go to the market in the summertime, the meat gets bought last, and then I go straight home. But if it's the wintertime and it's cold enough, I could buy the meat earlier on and know that even if I leave it in the car, it's cool enough that it's not going to spoil. So, but still, preparation, right? All right. Second definition, to put in a proper state of mind is prepared to listen in advance, preparing a campaign strategy. Prepare for the kingdom of Yahweh, is it? Three, A, to put together, prepare a prescription. Because when people need medicine, hey, Moses, what's the joke about Moses? Something. And he said, give me 2 tablets, right? But when you think about it, that's a prescription for a remedy. The 10 commandments on them 2 tablets. It's a remedy for sin. 3B, to put into written form to prepare a report, which I've had to do a lot over the evening before, my rabbi, because he don't want us. He wants us to give him the outline in advance, right or wrong, when we teach. So when I give him my outline, I got to give him, hopefully Yahweh gave me everything in advance, and I give it to him, bop, 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 bop. First week this, second week this, third week this, fourth week this, fifth week this, sixth week this. Because he, especially being that he's putting the information into Blog Talk for us to make it easy for us, he wants it in advance, so he's not sitting there like, well, what do I write? What do I say? Right? That's about preparation, too. So here come some examples. The teacher prepared the students for the test. The room is being prepared now and should be ready soon. The nurse is prepared the patient for surgery. Farmers are busy preparing the soil for planting. And that's another thing now, because now we're heading into the season. People say, oh, I'm going to just harvest. I'm going to just gobble it all up. But no, if you're a farmer, your harvest, as far as the soil is concerned, has to be ready for now. This is the time to fertilize, not in spring, not when it starts to get warm. This is the time to fertilize. Let's say you just want your grass to be green. This is the time to fertilize the soil to make sure that it is as weed-free and as green as possible come next season. Because if you wait for the when the weeds start to go, guess what? The weeds are already ahead of the game on you. So if you're trying to get ahead of the game on them, now's the time to prepare. If you're planting crops, now's the time to get that good manure into the soil. Because guess what? Now the bovine animals that give you the best, now is the time where they're eating a lot because they're getting themselves prepared for the winter season where they won't have as much grass to eat. So they're gobbling it up too, right? So now this is when you get that good stuff from them. See how Yahweh works? He works all in synchronicity. So in that way, when you get it, you put it back in it. And think about it. They just giving back what they ate. When you use it that way, they're saying, you gave to me, now I'm going to give back to you. So you get it all ready now. So in that way, make sure you have some good crops, provided when you get the rain that you need. We're going to talk about that too. Because Yahweh has been prepared. And he's been showing us that he has been preparing us along the way. Another example. They'll arrive soon. We don't have much more time to prepare. I like these examples. These are already set before me by old Mr. Webster. And they all apply to us and our learning. The next example, right? We don't have much more time to prepare ourselves for their arrival. She tried to prepare her for bad news. Oh, my goodness, Yahweh is so tired. The sailors are preparing themselves for a long voyage. The pharmacist prepared the prescription. I won't even go into the origin of this word. It says Middle English, preparing, borrowed from Middle French and Latin, Middle French, preparar. Borrowed from Latin, preparare, to furnish beforehand, put in a state of readiness. Hallelujah. So we're going to start off with today. And I know the lesson said that we are going to be reading from Shemot 19. Shalom, Yehuda. Shalom, Nathaniel. I know, I didn't forget about it. So he's after his name. He hit his brother like, don't forget about him. Shalom, brother. Right? But before we go there, let's hear the words of our master, Yahushua, and what he did for us and what he told us to do. Because he gave us some things to look for. He gave us some things to be mindful of until he returns. Because we're going through this thing now where going through the Maccabees, we see where they were prepared virtually to fight, physically, as far as their bodies were prepared to fight, but we realized at some point by the account, they didn't have armor. They didn't have the instruments of war that they needed. But let's say they solely relied on the instruments of war to fight this battle. What place would they be in? Because we heard at one point, right? We read at one point. I didn't read that. One of the brothers read it. But they didn't have swords. They didn't have armor. But they still had to fight by the wall. So that means prior to that, you had to be in at least some physical preparation, mental preparation, and sure enough, spiritual preparation for what you were going through, right or wrong. So the instruments sometimes aren't as valuable as me and my brother talk all the time. What our tongue, oh, man, that's your boy, that, you know, we say that dog in the physical, you know, in the world. But in the Hebrews, you want that lion in there, right? Roaring. What time is it? What time is it? That was a spirit on that team that got them ready. You know, one of my favorite quarterbacks is Drew Brees, man. When you see him in his fight preparation, he just like one of them linebackers. And what are we going to do? Win, 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 win. You've got to have that man that puts that mentality into the minds of men. You don't want nobody going out there like, all right, y'all, we're going to go out there, we're going to play this game, we're going to win. You going to believe that, man? We're going to win, y'all. You gonna win. Nah, you want that man to be like, y'all got it? I'm going to see this. Y'all mind first. Wake their minds up. You want to wake that spirit up there. You want to awaken them. Ah! Favorite movies is Full Metal Jacket. I love that scene in Basic Training. Made me not go into the military, but I still love the movies. And when he said to the man, he said, let me see your war face. And he goes, ah. He said, man, that's not a war face. Let me see your war face. Ah. Then he hits him. Boom. Man, let me see your war face. Ah. Right or wrong. He had to give him that gut check in order to get that man out of him. See what I'm saying? Because sometimes it takes that. You got to awaken men sometimes. Sometimes you got to slap a man upside the helmet. Sometimes you got to grab him by the face, man. Sometimes you got to get up in his face. Awaken that man in him. If it's in him, but if it's not in him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to ride the mansion. He's going to be that pine rider. Look what's going on with Melo right now. I don't really follow basketball, but my man is hitting some hard times. Hitting some hard times. Because they wonder whether or not he's got the will to play the game anymore. Y'all see what happened to Draymond and KD? I'll see what happens. But sometimes that's what it takes to give a man a gut check. Get up in his face. And then turn back around and say, we got a common goal that we have to achieve. Right? So we can't forget that. All right. So we're going to talk about Yahushua. Matthew 24, chapter, first verse. Now, bear with me. It's going to be a little bit of reading. But he says, and Yahushua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yahushua said unto them, see all these things? See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. What is he letting them know right then and there? Don't marvel at this. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be busted up. And he said, because in their mind, they had one vision. So now he's got to let them know, yo, we're caught up in this thing that you're seeing right here, bro. Okay? 24:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Yahushua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. What is he letting them know right then and there? I'm preparing you. Because what happens with deception is you're not properly prepared to understand what the deceiver is going to do. You're like this. You see this card, you see the card in the middle, the card on the right, and the card on the left, then he starts shuffling his butt, and he has his cable, and you think you watch. Oh, yeah, I see where it's at. Okay, little card, to the right, to the left, to the right. And before you know it, his cadence is so slick and he know how to master those cards that the cards you think you're watching, that he's shuffling around, and you go, I got you. He done beat you for your money. Because he's a master at that three-card Monte game. He's a master at shuffling his cards like that. So he's saying, look, I'm teaching you how to be prepared for the master of deception. Okay? So he says, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Moshiach. And shall deceive many. So that means many are going to fall for that three-card mafia game. And one of the things that's so funny, especially growing up in New York, you go down the city, everybody was doing three-card money back in the lane. And you always had that person who seemed like they was winning on the side, right? That was the bait. So that when you say, oh, man, if she got it, I can get it. He got it, I can get it. And you go up there and you put your money down, he's like, yeah, Bingo! Caught on the right. And he goes, no, nope, there go your money. So not only does he have his, he's the primary deceiver, he got secondary deceivers there too. He got people to get you hyped up, to draw you in, to get to throw that bait out so that you can. And I know something fishing is not something we've all done, but one of the things you gotta learn about fishing, learn this from the video. The fish is going in one direction, you got to pull the reel one way. The fish going in the other, but you can't reel at the same time. You got to pull the rod the wrong one way, but you can't stop. You can't keep reeling all the time. And you got to talk left, right, reel. You know what I'm saying? So that's what he did. Left, right. He wants to reel you in. Okay. What are you saying? Matthew 24:6. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See, the news report back then was saying the same thing. Same thing. So they may not have had Kim Jong-un. They may not have had Vladimir Putin. But they had the same people talk about, we're going to war with them. We're going to war against those filthy heathens. We're going to go to war against these people. We're going to go to war against them. We're going to go to war against them. See? No different. Just because they didn't have CNN going on 24 hours, CBS All Access going 24 hours, pumping BBC America, BBC Europe, Al Jazeera, just because they didn't have that back then, don't mean that the information wasn't spread and the minds of people were like, oh my God, we're going to war. When are we going to go to war? When is it going to be the big war? The war to end all wars. You see what I'm saying? So he said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. My brother did the teaching on this. For a nation, what's that? Ethnos, right? Make America great again. Keep them Mexicans out. Nation rising up against nation. The caravan is coming. Saturday Night Live did such a funny spoof on that a couple of weeks ago. The caravan is coming. All these scary people, women and children. Not to say that they may not have some bad people mixed in the group, because of course you're going to have some deceivers in the group. But all they want is a better life. Just like the Irish did at one point. Just like the Germans did at one point. Just like the Italians did at one point. But now everybody comes over here and they're like, get off my lawn. All of them come over here, ah, I want you on my lawn. I don't cross my border. Get up. People here before anybody else got here. Come on my border. To the contrary, they said, you want your dinner with us on Thursday? That's not a historical fact, but it's just appropriate for the season. Next Thursday, we having dinner. Y'all want to come? Y'all ain't even got to prepare nothing. We know y'all just new to the neighborhood. We'll have everything set out for y'all. Y'all just come eat. Didn't know they were scoping your house the whole time. Didn't know they was going to beat you out your goods. You thought you were inviting that new house guest over. Then they brought all these other people over. There goes the neighborhood. What y'all doing over? You know? Eating a birthday. Anyway, 24-7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And they shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise up. They just had the anniversary of Jim Jones the other day. I didn't know that was 40-some-odd years ago. I remember it as a kid, though, like it was yesterday. You know, my father followed me, you know. And for them to, you know, revisit a lot of stuff that he did, he deceived a lot of people. He deceived himself. That's where we get the saying from, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Because he gave them, man, they gave him purple drink and cyanide. Who don't love purple Kool-Aid? I think besides cherry, it's the best. You know? Who don't like, anybody don't like purple Kool-Aid? Great Kool-Aid? Oh, one defector out of the whole room. That's okay. Orange, chopping points. But anyway, don't drink the Kool-Aid. 24:9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive men. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And as always, whenever we read this verse, we say to our listeners out there, go and do a study of the Strong's Concordance on this particular verse, Matthew 24:12, in particular the word iniquity. But they may have changed a little bit by now, but hopefully there's enough left in here so that you can get the picture. 24:13. But he that shall endure to the end, he who has the stamina, he who is prepared to reach the goal, huh? That same shall be saved. So he's letting you know, you've got to be prepared. Why would he even use it? But he that shall endure, endurance. And how do you get endurance? My man is a weightlifter. How long get to you when you started weightlifting and get to putting on 2 plates? It took a little while, right? Then after that, you have to push yourself, right? You put on another set of plates on there, right? Did you all be automatically just say, oh, I can lift these 245 plates, I'm going to go put 245 plates on there. Did you do that? Okay. You pace yourself, right? You said, prepare the muscle, right, to endure, right? Because if you put that other plate on there, that other 45 plate on there, that's what's going to happen. If you do manage to get it off the bar, even with some assistance, guess what's going to happen with it? What's going to happen, brother? It's going to drop. Gravity going to take hold, and you're going to be there like this. Your legs going to be kicking. Help! Get it off me. I watched some gym fail. This one dude had to roll it down from dummy. Instead of rolling it down, rolled it towards his neck. And had the clamps on the end of it. Very bad move. Very bad move. Thankfully, somebody was filming it and was like, oh, snap! Seeing him go purple. Ooh. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So what are you saying? Be prepared for this. Have spiritual stamina. Have emotional stamina. And also have some physical stamina in this, because I'm going to tell you some more things. 24:14. And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations. And then shall the end come. Guess what, y'all? We ain't really seeing that right now. We ain't really seeing that. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be prepared for it. And more than likely, if we are the messengers of this age for that, we got to get ready to talk. Right or wrong. Because guess what? If there was a message that was sent out, repent, turn around, teshuvah, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay. 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything of his house. What is he telling you? Better leave. If you don't have it, leave it behind. You don't have it, leave it behind. Don't go back for it. I mean, we just got the situation with the California wildfires. Them people, when that fire came, you can do one or two things. You can either be smart and run, get out of Dodge, or you could be charcoal. Well, you could be charcoal, whichever one. The smart choice is leave it all behind and run. Because guess what? If you go back and get it and you become charcoal, it's no use to you. You have no use to it. And you have no use for it because you did it. He said, them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. They fresh coming out the Maccabees not too long ago. So these are all things that happened. We're just reading about this in the Maccabees, right? So he's letting you know it just happened. It's going to happen again. See, Israel's not going to stop being under attack. His nation's not going to stop being attacked. We just came out of attack because this ain't that long ago from when the Maccabees took place. So this should be fresh in their mind. Look, y'all just heard about what took place with Judah and the Maccabees. We're still under Roman occupation. Because we see where it went from the Grecian occupation to the Roman occupation all within the Maccabees. And they're still under the Roman occupation during Yahushua's day. So they've got a point of reference to say, yo, this stuff can happen. It can jump off quick. All right. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Right? Remember they had a battle during the winter in the Maccabees. Neither on the Sabbath day. We just came out last week learning that one of the days they want to attack was on the Shabbat. Because guess what? We had a different mindset on Shabbat. Hallelujah. We in praise mode, huh? We want to rest. But Yahweh saying, either on Shabbat and you giving me my praise, don't think of the enemy for 1 second. Keeps the Shabbat. The enemy don't keep Shabbat. He ain't worth, as a matter of fact, he wants to defile the Shabbat. So be prepared for him to come in on the Shabbat. For then shall, 24:21, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Mashiach, or there, believe it not. Preparation. For there shall arise false Mashiach, and repeatings and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So whatever they're going to be showing people in the name of Yahushua, HaMashiach. Because see, this ain't talking about people deceived by Jesus Christ. He ain't talking about people being deceived by Jesus. He's talking about people being deceived by Yahushua HaMashiach. And that there's people out there who believe in Yahushua HaMashiach. See, these are the people he's talking to. People are going to rise up now. We're going to start seeing some of this. Because people are already starting to get besides themselves. When you look at their Facebook page and they're on there and they have lightning bolts behind them, what are you saying? You have a lion superimposed in your picture. What are you saying? What are you saying? I'm sent from heaven. I rest with the lion of Yehudah. That's what you're saying. Because a picture paints a thousand words, and no picture is put together without purpose and design. It's in order to project and do not be deceived. That's the whole purpose of a picture. It's to bring about, to etch in your mind a thought. Okay. That's just one person. Or when you're standing with them, you're at your podium and you're like, what's the purpose of that? And you got Yahweh symbol right under Yahweh, the Yod Heh Vav Heh. What? Imagine Yahushua would do it. You think Yahushua would do something like that? Or one of the prophets would do, even would Daoud do something like that? Would King David and all his glory, you think he would do something like that? Would Moshe do something like that? Why would you? Why would you? Because you want to impose your greatness on other people. You want them to behold your majesty. And people fall for it. Believers fall for it. 24:23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Moshiach, there's an anointing, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise Moshiachs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, if he is in a secret chamber, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Look, the first time when I introduced myself, I turned the speakers up way loud. I want everybody to hear my voice and my booming system. With the thunderings and the lightnings and the and all Israel said, no, turn it down. We don't want to hear you talk. Let Moshe speak to us. So it's comes later on. He's rather long to do. Hey, Shalom, how you feel, my queen? You know, Shalom, how you feeling, my king? Not only are I saying to you the things that my father has shown to me. Came like a regular old dude. Didn't come with the boom system. Can you just chop it up with you? Why don't you know? That's like a man. Hey, y'all going down to that spot down on Eckhart Street and a hard way? All right, I'm going to go down there with y'all. We gonna get some of that Hebrew in us. That's how he did it back then. As a matter of fact, there was another man who came before him that wouldn't touch the stuff. No, man, I'm not that. I'm going to go eat these locusts and it's honey over here. He said, no, I ain't going to be like him. I'm not going to be like John the Baptist. I ain't going to separate myself from the people. I'm going to chop it up with y'all. We're going to eat some steak, curry lamb, chicken. You may have even had some pizza back then. Who knows? It was under Roman occupation. They got kosher pizza sauce in the Jewish land. So then they have a... It's a little turkey pepperoni thing. They chop it up with y'all over a brew. And some wings and stuff. That's the type of cat Yahushua was. Come up with the speaker boxes. Okay, nice chill mellow voice. Matter of fact, he wasn't like one of the dudes that stand behind a lightning bolt. Matter of fact, they said you wouldn't even recognize the cat. He was unassuming. He said, have no communist form that people's gonna be like, yo, that's Yahushua, yo, we gonna hang out with him, yo. Nah, just a regular old cat that like to talk to people and open the word of Yahweh to them. Didn't preach to them, didn't talk down to the masses. Now, he talked to them Pharisees in particular, but to the average Joe, I'm just trying to teach y'all some lessons. I'm trying to share the word with y'all, the way it was shared with me. I'll leave off 27. For as lightning cometh forth out of the east and shineth, but now this time, he's letting you know, when I come this time, I'm coming with the light show. I'm coming with the light show. Boom, I'm coming with all the tectonics, all of that stuff, pyrotechnics, everything. When I come back this time, everybody will see me in my glory, right? For lightning come out of the east and shine into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For whosoever the carcass, so wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribute, so funny, I watched this YouTube video with the boys yesterday about the biggest eagle on earth. And one of the things that they said about the eagle was, if you're walking with your pet, dog or walking with your dog, if you see that eagle flying overhead, guard your pet. Because that means he's got his eye trained on you. Them eagle eyes are big. The Philippine eagle, huge, big old white eye with just a black dot in the middle. You'd be like, oh, snap, he's dangerous. But even when you think about when Yahweh said he would protect us on eagle's wings, you know what I'm saying? That eagle, when it sights its prey, oh, it's going to swoop down and can't nothing stop it. Y'all watch some of them videos about when the birds of prey come down to get your pet. They say even guard your child. If you got a little child, what you got to say, I? Yeah! Right? We saw old Alvin. And you know Alvin be running around there. He ain't like Mickey. Out in Suco, you got Alvin out there. And he be just having fun, running. And then one day we seen Alvin run past. And that hawk came down and said, scream. and all you heard album go was squeak, and even this funny look back at it's like, I'm out. I was gone. He looked back at his like to say, "Fuck it up," because he didn't enough and took off. But there's a testament because we didn't even see him amidst the trees. And that sequel, it wasn't like all the leaves were down. It was still like an early kind of sequel where the leaves were still up. And when we saw that, I was like, "Whoa!" Because I mean, bam, he was gone. But he did give us the wit, like, brother, mop. Y'all seen that? 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall not fall from heaven, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they shall set, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So being part of preparation is seeing the sign, watching, right? So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Because remember, there was a point where the invaders came to the doors of the city, right? In Maccabees, you just read about that. They came to the doors, ready to fight. So likewise, 24:23. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these signs, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all those things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But, he says this, but of that day and hour, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But the days of Noah were, so shall all the coming of the so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. See, I remember, I never forget the story that Gershom Ben Daniel told on that, how Noah was out there. Hey, y'all, it's going to rain. What do you mean it's going to rain? What's rain? You ain't never seen no rain. I'm telling y'all it's going to rain. Till that day, he started to walk up in there. Went in the ark. Shut the door up. And then trickle. Y'all know how sometimes that summer rain comes? Feel that one big drop. You can see the drops coming down. And before you know it, if you ain't going for shelter. And we had a lot of that this year. Just think about this for a second. If rain symbolizes the spirit, and if all that we've done, do y'all know what happened this year? That monumental occasion just took place? With this last rainfall? This is officially the rainiest year on record in Maryland. So now, if the rain symbolizes an outpouring of his spirit, and if you think about where he's been leading us, what does that symbolize for us? What does that symbolize for us? If you think about it, the rains, we have officially broke a record, I think, that stood since the 80s. This last rain, we have officially reached the tipping point in Maryland. This 2018 has the most rainfall in the history, as long as they kept records in there. What does that mean for us? That's the thought. Okay. 24:38. Because in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so that all the coming of the Son of Man be. The reason why this Howard County executive just lost the election was because after the first flood, they didn't prepare for that. They weren't prepared in Ellicott City. Called them off as a 1,000-year event. They said, right? Now they had time to prepare. And didn't prepare. They had another catastrophic flood again, which people lost their lives. So now he's out of there. because the people have no confidence in his ability to get the city, the infrastructure prepared for these events. So now he lost the election. Not that he was a bad man, but sometimes this one event that takes place under your leadership can take place, and as a result of your inability to act in a manner to safeguard law, you lose your seat of power. Hmm? So now that dude is out. Because under his watch, two floods occurred. One, they give you a passport. The second one now is your fault. Hmm? Okay. So verily I say unto you, 40. Then shall two be in the field, but one shall be. Then shall two be in the field, but one shall be taken on the other left. This is not talking about the rapture. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, but one shall be taken on the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know what, not what hour your mighty one doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh, who then is faithful and who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? His master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, then he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let me tell y'all a true story. What happened to me on the job as a manager? Two of my employees, right? Called them on the radio. Where y'all at? I already called the unit. Me, that the patient was gone. So if y'all telling me on the radio, y'all got a patient, and the unit called me to tell me cancel the job because the patient was gone, we, the nurses, took the patient, what y'all doing? So I went on a seeking mission, a fact-finding discovery mission. So I go up to one of the floors, right, break the corner, come around, two of them chilling in the lounge. Mind you now, they're coming at 8 o'clock, 8:15, 8:30 at this point. So I sit down with them. What y'all doing here? We were taking a break. Taking a break? You started, I'm tired. I was up all night. I got to do it, me and my patient. Oh, why are you coming down? We just sat down for a minute. Just sat in the room. We already got the patient. No, you didn't. I talked to the patient first. The patient was gone. So what y'all didn't think was I would find out. And y'all had an extra 15 to 30 minutes to chill because I should be under the assumption that y'all were doing your job. You see what I'm saying? This is the same scenario. So I rolled up on them suddenly, and they both got final written warnings. See, he is your manager. Out of rather you just come back down to the office and say, hey, the patient is already gone. You got another assignment for it? No, we ain't got no assignment. All right, just relax in the lounge. Just chill in the office. As opposed to you now thinking you're going to be hidden in an area unaware and that I wouldn't bust that corner and find you. And as fate would have it, fine, chill in the office. Follow it, man. You'll never do that to my patient again. Never. That's what he's saying. You don't know. You better be on watch. Don't get slothful. Don't get slack. Don't get in chill mode. Be ready. Constantly be working. And if there's a moment when you get some downtime, be ready to get back out there and work. Don't be slothful. Don't get slack. Just because I'm taking a long time to get here, and that's the whole purpose of it. See, a lot of times as a manager, I don't want my team. One of my mentors taught me, John. Man, never come in a routine. Never. Never be a 9 to 5. Because if they know you coming in at 9, they're going to chill until 8:59 and 59 seconds. And if they know that you are out at 5 at 5 o'clock in 1 second, they're going to be in chill mode. So switch it up. Come in sometimes at 5 in the morning. Sometimes don't come in all day long, but come in at 11 o'clock at night. See what your overnight team is doing. See whether or not a lead. but of the universal amount of medicine than our patients. Hmm? Whether they are good and faithful saints. Part one of my God, no one makes you chilling. Sleep.
He knows.
My man knows. You can get comfortable on the overnight shift where we work. You can get real comfortable. Matter of fact, you come in sometimes, people pop up so fast, they forget to pull their stuff up. Pillows, sheets, and all that. See? Yeah. Right. Right. See? So, you got to, as a manager, keep people on their toes. Otherwise, it could be a detriment to you. Be a detriment to me as a manager. Because, unfortunately, people aren't trustworthy. They're not. But Yahushua says for his employees, don't get lax, don't chill out, don't be on playtime. Hmm? Don't get on scoopity whoop mode. Be ready. All right, 25th chapter, Matthew. And this is a very important parable right here. Very important. Because the kingdom is the end game, the kingdom is the goal. Because that's what becomes a reality when we die. Whether or not he has accepted our application for employment or not. We don't find out until we go to our interview. And our interview ends until we close our eyes. And at that point, we'll find out, do we or do we not? We want that. We want that good tour in Ezra. He said, when we see it, we're going to be like, whoa, for real? Wow, this is better than anything I've ever seen on that side. And for the other people, it's for real? And I'm not going to be a part of it? That's like, remember in National Lampoon Vacation, y'all ever watch that movie? It was Chevy Chase, and they went to Wally World. And Wally World was closed. And then they drove all that way, holiday, and they get there, and Wally closed. Their father turns violent in the security. Oh, you go nuts in the Wally World. But it ain't going to be that way. When you get that other tour, oh, no. Boy, Wally World going to be closed to you. You're going to be able to see all the roller coasters. You're going to see the pearly gates. And the sapphire scroll, the Torah sapphire scroll, the Torah scroll made out of sapphire, all rolled up, and things that on this side could never happen. And you see all this fantastic stuff, better than any movie we have ever seen in this life, better than anything we could ever behold. And to know, okay, y'all gonna rest one more last time to get ready for your job, and this is what y'all gonna get when y'all wake back up. And the others say, well, guess what? Y'all had the same opportunity they had. Y'all, they had no more advantage over y'all. Whatever Bible they found me in, the same Bible you could have found me in. The playing field was evil. The playing field was very evil. I didn't tip the scales in one way or another for you. So you could have made, you could have had this. I'm sorry. The choice was yours. He said, I laid before you fire and water, life and death. Choose you this day. That's to everybody. Everybody, not just Israel. Everybody can read that in the Word. You don't have to know Hebrew to read that. Okay. 25:1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But those the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they came prepared, right or wrong. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all went to sleep. And at midnight, when there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. That all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, nuh-uh. Lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And here's the big point of why it's important to be prepared. 25:10. And while they went out to buy, when they went out to re-up, because they weren't prepared. See, when certain things go bad, you ain't got no time to re-up and still make the goal that you are supposed to be on, set forth on. Prime example. Oh, man. Oh, backwoods Maryland with Baltimore in it that got the highest crime rate in the country just about, and all this going on. Y'all see what happened up in good old New York, Grand New York, and New Jersey with this snowstorm that came through? We had not, maybe we may have had one or two fender benders, right? But by and large, you know, we got the same stuff. Because it was rough out there. I was driving out there. It was pretty treacherous at some point. It was rough. It was rough driving out there. I mean, like, if you didn't brake enough time, you was in trouble. And you were spinning out at some point. But guess what? As grand as some of them other states were, they had miles and miles of backup. Did y'all see that? And I remember going out the day before, like, dang, man, they already down the street and everything. But guess what? We was okay. You know why? Because we prepared. And they brought the officials from the news and said, we didn't prepare. Think it was going to have the impact that it did. But see, what we sometimes when we say to ourselves, well, dang, man, why are they making it seem like it's just, and then if nothing happens, okay. But there will be that one time that you sleep. And it has happened down here that they slept. And 83 was blocked up. And people had to leave their cars on 83. They said, never again. Now, imagine that. Now, I don't know if y'all familiar with the George Washington Bridge, but that's the main way to get up in and out of New York. You block and New Jersey. You block that up, you're in trouble. That's a major part of I-95. And that is blocked up with all the goods and stuff come by truck. And y'all let that get locked up for hours? Oh, y'all that just messed up in New York, y'all messed up for a lot of people up and down the East Coast because y'all failed to prepare. By the time you are caught up in that traffic situation, if your tank of gas ain't filled, if you ain't got enough food, there's kids that had to stay in school overnight because they were ill-prepared. So you can have dire impact. And some of these kids had special needs that needed medication, that needed to be in certain situations so they don't have catastrophic events based on their mental and psychological condition. See, lack of preparation has a deep and wide impact. An event, and it falls on one official's head that did not make that call to do that, to get the streets ready, to get the plow trucks out, to get the salt trucks out, to get all of this stuff that taxpayers have paid for their taxes for that infrastructure to take place. You see what I'm saying? So when you think about our lives and our souls and our spiritual being, put it all in perspective and say, if we're not prepared at any point, because this is a life is occupation, here, that moment, gone, and next. Your life is gone in one instant. So if you're not prepared, because nobody, it's almost like you ever see them commercials where everybody's in that meeting and says they get a ring, oh, earthquake's coming. And the commercial says, earthquake's going to tell you before they come. But you got to be prepared for a disaster before it strikes. You see what I'm saying? back to 25. 25:6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us oil. Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and ye. But go ye rather to them that sell or buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were not ready, and went in with him, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Just like the example he gave with the flood. Once the door of the ark is shut, it ain't opening back. So if you're not prepared for when that door is open, for that time frame, once it's locked, it's done. 5:11. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. See? And it's a lot different when you read what took place in Shemot 19 before Yahweh makes the introduction at Mount Sinai. He gave the people time to prepare. You know, he told them to be ready. We're going to read a little bit of it. We're going to read some of it. Because there's a big difference between then and what Yahushua is saying now. Because, see, yes, sir. Amen. 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 We're going to look at the words already, too. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to Exodus 19:1. And I always like to start reading at the beginning of the chapter. So in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, so now they're 3 months removed from the Passover, from where they're taking place, right? They did the second Passover and everything at this point. The same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mountain. And Moses went up to Elohim, and Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Yaakov, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on Egypt's way, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So he's telling the people, look, I've got this reward for y'all. Because at this point, this is before the Levitical priests, the Levites come up and all this stuff. So none of this has been established. But he's getting their minds ready at this point to say, look, I got something for y'all. I just want to know that I have a partner in this, that I have willing participants in this. You know, if y'all accept me as your God, think about it now. He said to them, will y'all accept me as your God? Think about that. He ain't saying, look, I'm your God, you my people. You got what I want. He ain't talking to them like that. He's saying, look, I want to be your people. Accept me as your God. Think about that. Think about how humble our God is. Huh? Think about it. Look, I just did this for y'all. Y'all like what I did for y'all?
Right.
Now I'm telling y'all I want to be your God.
Right.
I mean, think about it. I just took you out of all that hardship. Mm-hmm. And he ain't say, I'm your God. He said, here's the deal, y'all. I showed y'all what I just did. I showed y'all what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? This is what I'm capable of for y'all. All I want to know is that I be your God and y'all will be my people. Because if so, guess what? I'm going to make a nation out of y'all. I'm gonna make a kingdom out of y'all. I'm gonna do a great thing with y'all. I'm gonna flip the circumstances that y'all were in before. Whereas now y'all were serving, I'm gonna make y'all into a kingdom. Thank you, sir. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, obey me, just listen to me, hear what I say and do it, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth. Y'all gonna go from these detestable Hebrews now to a peculiar treasure. Something for people to behold and say, And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a set apart nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yahweh commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken we will do. And Moshe returned the words of the people unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, and the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moshe told the words of the unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day Yahweh will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not any hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moshe went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. What did he do? He prepared them. First thing had to be the washing of the clothes. First thing had to be preparing the mind. The first thing had to get your mind to a place where you now are willing to do this thing. You see what I'm saying? But what did it start with? The first thing he did was he got the Zacharias together, the elders. And then the elders then talked to the people. The building Zacharias is here. I mean, I know some people are reluctant to hit that section right now. That is the designated Zacharias section, right? If you're over 50, you're a Zacharias, right? I mean, but the point I'm trying to make is we officially have a lot of Zacharias in here. And many of these Zacharias are teachers of the people, right? Okay, so he's calling Zacharias. He's talking to these Zacharias. I ain't a Zacharias yet. You know some of this might say so. I'm for death.
I ain't fit yet.
My ear thing just told me.
I hope so. Yeah, I think I'm still there.
Okay, where, 1915, I believe. And he said unto thee, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Wait a minute. Okay, 1914. And Moshe went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. So now, sanctify your mind. Ready your mind. Ready your garments. Ready your bodies. Okay? And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moshe brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with Elohim, to meet with their power, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because Yahweh descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the mount, as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moshe spake, and Elohim answered him by a voice. And Yahweh came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and Yahweh called Moshe up to the top of the mount, and Moshe went up. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Yahweh to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to Yahweh, sanctify themselves, lest Yahweh break forth upon them. And Moshe said unto Yahweh, that people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. So he's letting them know, I took care of that. You asked me to set that boundary up? I set that boundary up. So the preparation was made by Moshe to ensure that people didn't violate. You see what I'm saying? And Yahweh said unto the people, and Moshe said unto Yahweh, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou charges us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Because remember what he said, if Moshe didn't make that preparation, if he didn't make that gate, and the people broke through, guess what? They was going to die.
Wait a minute, where did I leave off at?
24. And Yahweh said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aharon with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto Yahweh, lest he break forth upon them. So Moshe went down unto the people and spake unto them. Now, we see in two regards. One, with Yahushua talking about being prepared. Be prepared. Because if you're not prepared, when I come back, guess what's going to happen? Y'all going to miss out. But now, we see back here when he was telling people, get ready, get these people ready, because now when I introduce myself to them, y'all got to be in a certain mindset. So now we've gotten this introduction. So now
for those who have come afterwards, now that you've gotten this introduction to Yahweh, to his creator, and to his son, now his son's job is to prepare you now to meet the Father. You see what I'm saying? So that's it. That's the story. For me, other than that. If anybody has a comment or anything that they'd like to add, by all means, please do. If not, that's it. Preparation, preparation, preparation. Proper preparation produces proper performance. Let's prepare ourselves. All right, this is the last Shabbat before we end up. Out deep. Hope y'all ready. I'm ready. I'm going. Hopefully some good things will come out when we get up there.
And don't think for a moment that Yahweh ain't watching.
So you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.